seeking the Lord's help and in dependence upon him for all needed help now, I venture to direct you to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 11. The 11th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and I will read the text from verse 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 11, and reading from verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Lord Jesus knew and does know of those characters who are described in this word, that they are heavy laden, that they have these burdens. Now this may cover many things, dear friends, in the lives of the Lord's people. They may be physical burdens in the body. They may be spiritual burdens. They may be providential burdens. But what a mercy that there is a throne of grace to whom poor sinners can come, feeling that they're heavy laden and they are burdened. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, let us look into our own hearts, into our lives, as to whether we have known something of that rest. You know, there is a rest that remaineth unto the people of God. And even the Lord Jesus, he said to his desire, let us go into the desert that we may have a little rest. Well, I don't think the Lord Jesus had very much rest when he was here below. Oh, the multitudes that seemed to flock him at times with their burdens. And think, dear friends, as we read the Word of God, the many burdens and those that were heavy laden came to him, as we read of them in the Gospels. Oh, the burdens that they had, and they were heavy laden, but you see, the Lord did give them rest. Oh, he only had to speak, and he gave them rest, because he had divine authority, that he was verily God and verily man. Wisdom of God here, oh, the ability of God here to be able to give this rest. And he knows those, even here this morning, that you may have come under some labour, some burden. It may not have been easy to get to the house of God. I know what it is to feel it myself. Oh, the need, a perseverance sometimes to come to the house of God. I believe, you know, friends, that the enemy, Satan, will do everything to prevent us come to the house of God. Oh, how many excuses are made. And the Lord, I think, he speaks in his word, does he not, of those who made excuses they had various responsibilities and so on. And there are various things in their lives that were more important to them. And I think the Lord said, go into the hedges and highways and seek them out. Now, this can be a burden, you know. How shall I get to the house of God? And so on. These are a peculiar afflictions and temptations that some of the Lord's family have. Others may not know it, they may not understand it. But there are these burdens and there are these difficulties, there are these hindrances. And yet, you know, if we have the grace of God, if we have the grace of the Lord Jesus, the speaker of these words, oh, if we have that grace and perseverance, then, you know, sometimes we shall find the rest. We shall find, as we have here in verse 29, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, because you have ventured. You have come to the house of God and you have found rest. Oh, friends, you know we live in a day when there is such a falling away. When there's such a falling away. The things of this life and sometimes the enticements of this life all prevent people to come to the house of God. But my friends, if you've got a burden, whatever that burden is, then come unto me. Come to the gospel table. Come and hear the word of God. Oh, I believe this word, come unto me, dear friends, covers so many things. First of all, of course, it does mean this, to come to him in prayer. Come unto me in prayer, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Now, coming unto him in prayer may seem to be a labour, but you know, dear friends, you know, in all labour there is profit. I remember many years ago going to St. Morton, the chapel in Oxfordshire, and the dear old deacon there, as I came out of the pulpit in the afternoon, I felt so disappointed. I felt I so failed and so on. And he said that to me, in all labour there is profit. There is profit in all labour. Now come unto me in prayer. Friends, what a wonderful thing that there is a throne of grace to come to. Indeed, the Lord Jesus spoke, didn't he? Or rather, in the preaching, I think it was, in his Sermon on the Mount, I think it was, that he said, that enter into thy closet, shut thy door about thee, and pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Now, dear friend, I just ask the question here, that is there that burden for the ministry? Is there that burden when you come to the house of God? Do you pray for the Lord's servants? And for whatever that is, do you pray for profit? If you'll excuse me making a few personal remarks, which another one has come to me. I was preaching once at Uffington, and in those days we used to stay at Mrs. Pepler, and she lived in the village then in Uffington. And just before the evening service, I was downstairs, and you know, friends, she was upstairs and I could hear her praying. Oh, how that seemed to touch me. that dear soul was praying for the ministry, for the prophet, praying for her own soul probably, but she was praying. Oh, come unto me. Come unto me at the throne of grace. You will never turn away a coming sinner to the throne of grace, my friends. But what brings us to a throne of grace? I know, of course, that there can be, and I hope there is, with many here, that you are able to have a prayer in the morning, reading God's word, if you've got the opportunity and time, and perhaps in the evening, you read the word of God and you pray. Now, dear friends, what a mercy that we have a throne of grace to come to. But what I want to say is this, and I'm sure there are those here will understand me perfectly, that we don't really come to the throne of grace unless we have a burden, unless we have a particular need. Now, dear friends, how many of you come to this morning with a burden or some trial, some painful affliction, some difficult thing in providence, some trial that you may have that the Lord knows? There's so many things that we could name, isn't there? But your friends, the Lord knows the path of his dear people. Hence we have this word. You know, there would be many people, I suppose, who would take this. Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, I will give you rest. But my friends, you know, only the Lord knows the burdens of his people. He knows if it's genuine. We cannot, dear friends, deceive the Lord in our prayers. If I may use this word, I believe the Holy Spirit inspects every prayer. And another thing is this, and I've mentioned it a number of times, in the 8th chapter to the Romans, the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, the intercession of the Spirit within a groan. Dear Mr. Wood, Mr. Clement Wood, you know, often he would perhaps preach from one or two words, or sometimes one word, and I think one occasion he preached from this word, groaning. Now that may seem very strange to some people. But you see, he was preaching from the word of God. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He knoweth our need. Oh, if I can just turn, friends, to perhaps get it more fully and get it right. This is a very wonderful thing to me, because it is the intercession of the Spirit from on high. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now that intercession by the Spirit is in the heart, friends. And then towards the end of this wonderful chapter, he speaks of another intercession. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. It's the work of God. These two intercessions with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the more you're heavy laden, the more your burden, perhaps the less you can say about her. Now, come unto me then in prayer. Come to the gospel table. Come to the throne of grace. Come to the mercy seat. Come to one who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto him by God, seeing he ever maketh intercession for us. The Lord won't bar any needy soul. But I say to you, friends, that I am sure there are those here that will understand this. You only really come unto him when you've got that real need. But it's the Lord's invitation. It doesn't matter whether it's day or whether it's night, whatever time it is, come unto me. Well, another thing is this, you see. It may be that you are driving your car, or you may be walking down the street, or whatever it is, you come to him, you say, Lord, help me. And sometimes you know those prayers are best. Mr. Leonard Broom, in his book, he says this, brief prayers sink deep. And some of you realize what I mean. Brief prayers sink deep. The Lord help me. The Lord have mercy upon me. Oh, my friends, brief prayers sink deep. Doesn't matter where you are. But I think the Lord does clarify that. He says, then, as we've already stated, enter into thy closet, shut thy door about thee, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and he that seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now, there will be a reward. Now, what is that reward? For his presence, friends, and his help. So, what we have before us this morning is so vitally simple, and yet it is so profound. We need the Lord to speak it to us, don't we? We need the Lord to invite us there. Thus he invites his people still. He does, as the hymn says. And he teaches them how to pray. For we know not how we should pray or what we should pray for, as we all. The Spirit help is their infirmity. You remember, of course, that the prayer of the publican, the Lord never heard. He got much to say. He had plenty to say of what he'd done and so on, but he never had a need. You know, the Lord Jesus, he reproved those Pharisees and so on that stood on the corners of the street. They were parading. He rebuked them for that. But here we have the gospel invitation to those who really feel their need of it. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, dear friends, there is a throne of grace. Now, faith believes this. It's only by faith that you believe it. And who can give us faith? You believe there's a throne of grace. You believe by the word of God as we have it. And you hope by revelation that there is a mercy seat. And that mercy seat is a blood-sprinkled mercy seat. You know, in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 25, I think it is, when Moses was commanded the tabernacle, all the things of the tabernacle, the place of worship, and so on. And if you read the 25th of Exodus, I think it is very detailed in every part. But you friends, you see, there was to be the ark. the ark of God signified his presence. Wherever they journeyed, so the ark of God would go with them. Solemnly, the ark of God later on was taken away from them for the sins of the people. But where the ark was, it signified the presence of the Lord. That's very important, friends, to know and feel the presence of the Lord. In the house of God, that is, of course. I mean, the special presence of the house of God. You know, the hymn writer says, he loves the tents of Jacob well, but since in Zion loves to dwell. This is my resting place, he said, here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision, and I will satisfy her poor with bread. There's something very special about the house of God, the place of worship, where his presence is, very special. You remember in Haggai, I think it was concerning the second temple being built, and there is that reproof of God because the people were dwelling in sealed houses and so on, but they were neglecting the house of God. Oh, may that be, friends, a word to us. They neglected the house of God because they were so taken up with their own possessions and their own homes. And Haggai, the prophet, speaks by the Spirit, and he says this, consider your ways. Consider your ways. But in that short book of Haggai, we have the promise of the Lord that he would grant to them his Spirit. My Spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. Beloved friends, that is the most important thing. May it ever be so in this house of God. In many of our chapels, my Spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. Let's just go back for a moment to Moses and the tabernacle and to the mercy seat, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, which was the very important part of the tabernacle. Now, there's this word, I think. He says, and I will meet thee there. And I will meet thee there. Let me just turn to the reading of it, get it correct, dear friends, in that 25th chapter, rather, of Exodus, I think it is, where Moses is commanded, as I said, to erect the tabernacle and all that it contained, the glory that it contained. It's a very wonderful chapter to read, but this is it. He said, I should put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark, thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And he says this, and there I will meet with thee. And I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Now, of course, that was all done away with, wasn't it? Because Christ had come, you see, everything of the old dispensation, or many things of the old dispensation, was now finished. It was done away with. Paul sets this forth in the Hebrews. It was done away with. But now we have something more glorious. And that is the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. The mercy seat in heaven, the way of access. And that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus and to the merits of the Lord Jesus. So come unto me in prayer, whatever your case, whatever your need, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, maybe some particular trial that you have in your life, some peculiar affliction, he said, I will give you rest. You see, rest is a wonderful thing to those friends who are heavy laden. Even natural rest, of course. If one is able to go away, perhaps for a week or two on holiday and get away from all the general things of this life, and you know, you can feel the benefit of it, and I will give you rest. But you see, life is so busy, isn't it? There's so much, many stresses in life today. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. And in verse 29, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, that will be the burden of those who are taught of God. It is the burden of their soul. Nor shall I find rest until I find rest in thee. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. This is a blessed rest, friends. To rest upon the foundation of your hope. That is the rest that the Lord's people are seeking for. And perhaps you never yet found that rest, have you? Not quite. You haven't found the rest yet. Rest of the atonement, the rest of your soul, that you can rest your soul in all that comes, and for eternity you can rest your soul in the foundation truths of God, and I will give you rest. It may be healing, it may be help, it may be comfort, it may be peace, and I will give you rest. The word that I hope really brought me to this text was really the 29th verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That is why I felt to read, dear friends, where we did this morning. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I just want to turn to one particular verse that I felt perhaps to read in that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, speaking prophetically of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, but it was really verse 5, really. Verse 4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Learn of me. It's learning of Jesus. You know, natural learning and knowledge is a wonderful thing. But the greatest knowledge that one can ever have, friends, is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. To know the Lord Jesus, to know him as your Saviour. As the one that laid down his life that you might live. I'm sure that is the seat, that is the rest that the Lord's people see. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes were healed. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. You see, dear friends, I know perhaps we're speaking now to those who are led deeper into the path. But are we speaking also to those who desire to be led into the path? Who long to know that they are called by grace, that the Lord Jesus has laid down his life for them? Now, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Oh, dear friends, the great knowledge is the knowledge of Christ. You remember that Paul, the apostle, and Saul of Tarsus, he was very learned. He brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew the law, probably. Yes, he had a sound knowledge of the law, but he didn't know Christ. He didn't know the way of salvation. But when the Lord met with him on the Damascus Road and cut him down almost, then he sought a greater knowledge of all terrestrial things now to my soul true pleasure brings. Oh, friends, no peace but in the Son of God or in his pardoning blood. But you know, it's completely changed the outlook of who was Saul of Tarsus. When he writes then in his epistles, he's not talking about knowledge of natural things so much. He's not talking about the need of the knowledge of the old law. What he was talking about was, and writing about was, to the Philippians especially, that he was writing to them that they may know him whom to know is life eternal. Let me again turn to the wording of the apostle in that epistle. And he says these things. What things were gained to me? Those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You see, he now was completely changed. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. That was the knowledge, friends, he was now seeking after. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, beloved friends, that is rest. That is rest. But will you know something of the power of his resurrection? That is rest. So Paul writes these various epistles, and you see, he is insisting on this knowledge of Christ. Now take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We might say this is a very simple statement, I suppose. You hear of this term, don't you? The school of Christ. Many of the old ministers, and of course there are those today, that they only know one college or one school, and that is the school of Christ. Now, dear friends, you know we're not speaking against a knowledge or learning. Again, we're not speaking against that at all. It's very good in its place. But to learn of him is the chief thing. And how much have we learned of him? Of course, we should learn something about ourselves also. We should begin to realize our failings, our sins, maybe our past sins. Not only the sins that we commit, but the sins that we omit, the sins of omission. Now, is that a burden to you? Does that concern you? The Lord knows this, of course. There's need of confession, not only of the sins that we commit in our heart, in our mind, in our thoughts, but also the things that we leave out, the things that we do not attend to, the sins of omission. Now, this may bring you that you are heavy laden. You want the Lord to give you rest. Now, he says, take my yoke upon you. I mean, a yoke, of course, in the olden days, there was a yoke, I think, that took the buckets of water, a yoke round the shoulder. Some of you may even remember that, where somebody carried a yoke with two buckets of water. And I'm thinking more of the yoke of the oxen. Yoked together in the old days. The horses, of course, they were in a cart. They were held by their harness and so on, but the yoke held them together. Oh, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. We read in the Word of God, be not ye yoked together, I think, with unbelievers. That's very important, isn't it? Very important. Don't be yoked too much to the world. Don't be yoked too much to unbelievers. It doesn't mean you haven't got to be unsocial or anything like that, but no, don't be yoked to it. But take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, there is a yoke upon the Lord's people. And learn of me. Oh, his yoke. Oh, that was laid upon him as we read together and mentioned just now that chapter or a verse in that 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Oh, he was heavy laden. He bore all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. Friends, are we ever brought to that? Do we learn of that? Do we ever think of the Lord Jesus? It is in these burdens oft that you are brought to learn of him. I always remember the late Mr. Pearson, the late pastor of Biddenden. He used to preach, I think, a few times at the anniversary services here. And his text was, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Of course, it was in their early days, but there was a desire for the knowledge of Christ. Now, dear friends, is that the chief desire of your soul, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection? Well, if you're burdened and heavy laden, you want this power of his resurrection to bring you out of it. What think ye of Christ? Oh, in the days of Jesus Christ, as we have in the Word of God, there were many opinions, wasn't there? He was some prophet. I remember a man telling me when I was in hospital many years ago, he said to me, I believe that Jesus Christ was a good man, but I don't believe he was the Son of God. Well, that's an awful thing to say, you know, isn't it? Awful thing to say. If you think of the eunuch, I think, when he was asked, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. My friends, you know, that's a wonderful thing if you really believe that. You feel you can rest upon that. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. It's laid in Zion. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. Yes, that stone, that cornerstone, that sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. It's laid in Zion. Is it laid in your heart? Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. Other refuge, other foundation have I none. You see, dear friends, he will take away a refuge of lies. We have, again, I think, in the Word of God, might not have quoted correctly. But oh, how many people naturally rest upon that which is false. It's a false hope. It's a false foundation. You remember in the latter part of the Sermon on the Mount, I think it is, the Lord Jesus uses this as a parable, really, I suppose, of the two men. One built his house upon the rock, and another built his house upon the sand. Now, when the winds came and the rains came and blew upon it, the one that had built his house upon the sand, it collapsed. But the one that had built his house upon the rock, it stayed. It didn't matter how much there was the elements against it. It stood. Friends, you know, the Lord would do this in the teaching of this, if we're learning of him. But other foundation hath no man laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We want to fill that foundation. This is the rest. The rest that remaineth to the people of God. It's the rest for your soul. It's the rest for eternity, isn't it? My friends, are there those here who are resting upon something false? Perhaps just chapel going. Now, let me be clear, friends. I'm sure that we're pleased, you're pleased to see anybody, especially your pastor here, he's pleased to see people in their seats. My friends, you can't rest upon your chapel going. You can only rest upon Christ. You see, we have that again, I think it is in the, I think it is in that word where we just mentioned just now about the foundation. I think that is in the 28th chapter of Isaiah. You see, it's all spiritual teaching, friends. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now, this is where you see we have this, as the Lord Jesus spoke about the man that built his house upon the sand. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Now, beloved friends, what is our rest? Now take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Oh, that's blessed rest. That's the forerunner, friends, of eternal rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is, compared to his yoke, compared to his burden. Oh, how light are our burdens. Well, I must leave the word. May the Lord only bless a few remarks. Amen.